Welcome to the Washington AI Network podcast. I'm Tammy Haddad, and we're joined by Blake Lott, the Chief Global Affairs and Legal Officer at LinkedIn, where he oversees legal, regulatory, and public policy strategy around the world. He's been at LinkedIn since 2010, helping guide the company through major moments in tech, from antitrust debates to data privacy battles, and now through one of the most profound transformations yet, artificial intelligence, reshaping the global workforce. LinkedIn isn't just a professional networking platform, it's a real-time labor market intelligence engine, tracking hiring, skills, job creation, and economic shifts as they happen. Blake sits at the intersection of technology, policy, and the future of work. So we're excited to hear what Blake has to say about how AI will affect the workforce. Where will the jobs go? What fields will change the most? And how should American workers prepare for the future? I hope you enjoy the conversation. Blake, tell me about this new report, Skills in AI, the U.S. Workforce Imperative. First of all, good name.
Thank you. We are fond of the name, but even more fond of what's in the report. But before I get into the report, first, I want to say thank you, Tammy, for having me on the Washington AI Network. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Nice to get to be here and chat with you. I'm in DC in part because we're launching this report. Everybody right now very focused on the big questions around AI. What does it mean for jobs, skills, and the workforce? And we've got a little bit of answers here based on our data. So what we've done at the high level, everybody talking right now, they know that AI has the possibility here to really boost productivity. We've done some research showing AI could boost productivity of US GDP by $4 trillion. By basically supercharging everybody's work, more output. Everything you're seeing right now, if you look at something like, obviously, something like Claude Code, basically, GDP is all about producing more stuff, faster, better, cheaper. AI is going to do that. And that's based on not just our data, but talking to firms and saying, well, okay, how fast do you think you can grow with AI versus not having AI?
What areas, though? What areas
all
are going to grow?
The board. Manufacturing was number one.
Because, you know, everyone's afraid it's the opposite. The robots are coming, and I don't have a job.
And we could talk about that as well. Our data doesn't show that yet. Yet. That's a big one. So we've looked at this ourselves, right? Because LinkedIn is this amazing view of the entire workforce in a digital form, right? We've got the people, we've got the jobs, we've got the companies. And because people come on and they update their profiles and they hire, we see all of this through what we call our LinkedIn economic graph. We see over 5 million updates every minute.
Wow.
Right. So we have this amazing real-time view of the economy. And we've looked at this question, which everybody right now is really focused on, which is how much is AI impacting jobs? And the answer is not yet from what we've seen. We've seen a decrease in the hiring rate, but that has been correlated to a rise of interest rates in the 2022 period, as opposed to AI's impact in jobs. And you're saying, like, how do you know this, right?
Right.
So the way we look at this is we looked at, has there been more impact in the areas that you would expect AI to be impacted right now, like marketing, administrative, et cetera? The answer is no. Actually, we're not seeing less hiring in those areas than other areas. It's quite similar. And instead, the drop seems to be correlating not with AI, again, I keep saying yet,
yes,
but yet, as opposed to the interest rates. So what we have right now, we've got backward-looking data. Now, it's real-time. It moves faster than other places. It's a good view. But this question that everybody's obsessing about, right now, we haven't seen it yet. The one that people care about is, what is AI's impacting jobs? And the answer is, I don't have a crystal ball. I mean, I have a crystal ball-ish thing with this LinkedIn data. It helps. It's not exactly that. But what I can do is look back the last 3 years. And so the data seems to be correlated not to AI impact and more to interest rates.
Okay.
Going forward, we'll see. What we can see is, okay, there's this possibility for real productivity gains. What can get in the way of that? Well, ultimately, we have to look at skills. Does the American workforce have the skills necessary to drive this growth? And if we look comparatively right now, Microsoft has a report about AI adoption. While we're first in a lot of areas, like we're obviously leading in frontier development, we're doing a great job in building the infrastructure that we need. When it comes to adoption, 24th in the world.
So who's number one?
Singapore.
It's amazing that we're 24th.
Yeah. The point is, there's 22 others between us and Singapore right now. And
the skills are going to be what's necessary, because right now it's a bottleneck, right? If we have the infrastructure, if we have the frontier models and we're ahead in that spot, what we hear from businesses is that I don't have enough AI trained workers to bring this growth and bring this future. When it comes, like, some of it's going to come no matter what, right? But we want to be sort of prepared and leading, because if not, there's going to be other countries that will be out ahead. Singapore, UAE, from a technical standpoint, other countries that are ahead of us right now. If you look at what we have as AI Engineering Talent Index, Ireland, Switzerland, some others.
I'm shocked by those numbers.
Yep.
So we're always talking about America's number one in AI, but you're saying a different thing. You're saying the skill side, we got to really ramp it up.
We're not number one.
Right.
We're 24-ish. These numbers are all, like, they can ultimately be a little fuzzy. They can move up and down.
Right.
But we're not number one. We think of ourselves as number one and ahead. We're 24. And what we need to do is we need to have the right level of investment as a country in order to drive the growth that we need.
Yeah. How's that going to happen?
Well,
do you think it's on companies, it's on government, it's on universities?
I'd say, think about it in three ways. Teach, train, measure. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, we got to teach the skills. And I don't know if you have kids.
Yeah.
So my kid's college age right now. And like a lot of kids, let's just say, like all of us, they have mixed feelings about AI.
Right?
We all
have
mixed feelings about AI. But what I say to them, sometimes they are receptive to this and sometimes not. This is coming and we need to basically embrace it and learn. And that needs to be done through schools. There's ways that that can be done. Like, we have some things in the report about providing additional funding to community college for skilling, all of that. So teach, then train. So because you said who should be doing it, government,
right,
companies, individuals. The answer is all the above.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When it comes to training, there's a whole bunch of things we can do. We already have a whole bunch of workforce policy in this country. We're spending money right now on investment. The question is whether or not we're spending on the right things. Because ultimately, at LinkedIn, what we're really focused on a solution here is skills, skills, skills.
Right. But the problem is, even with, you know, Claude Code. I mean, that was a big headline here in DC and around the world, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, I've been in school learning all of this. I'm an engineer. Let's take it at the highest level. Yeah. I'm an engineer working on coding and all this, and this rolls out. I don't know. I think it depresses the market more. Like, why should I educate myself? It's going to change in 2 months. Those skills won't be necessary.
I guess the question is which skills, right? So
you need to, across the board at LinkedIn, because you're in everyone's business, you need to say, here's the five things.
Yeah. So
you don't mind if I tell you what to do?
No. Please.
Okay.
I mean,
right.
Like, you know, that makes me feel at home.
Okay.
Look, I think you can break it down into a couple buckets. There's a set of technical skills, which would be, as an example, AI technical skills around like machine learning. The people who are in there sort of building those systems in all the different ways. That's one bucket that we need to understand. But actually, we don't need everybody to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We need a small group of people to be able to do that to maintain a lead. Then there's AI literacy skills, right? Am I comfortable with using the tools? Somebody's got to build the tools. Then am I comfortable and able to use the tools? And something like Claude Code, what it shows actually is there's more and more a premium, less in some ways, on those technical skills, because what's going to happen is it's going to be easier and easier for people like dummies like you and me to get in there and start. You've heard the term vibe coding. I'm sure
you've
been on this podcast talking about vibe coding. But what it basically means is you tell the interface what to do, and then it builds something for you.
Yeah.
It's better and better. So what does that mean? It means actually the human skills are going to become more and more important. Communication, judgment, and actually creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually one thing that makes me optimistic, because this is what we're good at in America. We're good at coming up with stuff. We're good at innovating and trying to figure out what's next. And that is going to be the thing. Who's going to come up with the most creative solution? Who's going to be able to do idea generation? And it's going to be less. I'm in there with Python coding away. And so that's an issue and a challenge for all the CS grads that we've been putting through our universities. But like, if you look at the long term, and particularly comparatively with other cultures, society, nations, where we've led as a country, innovation, creativity. I know there's concern, we can talk about this too, in creative industries as well. But actually, we're only going to be limited by our imaginations.
Well, the thing I like about AI, when I use AI, is that it makes me think about things that I wouldn't think about normally.
Yeah.
So it advances me, you know, and I feel like everything's at my fingertips. Not unlike the day that Google came out and search, oh my God, anything's at my fingertips. I don't have to call. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. But you've got to get people to do it. And people are afraid to try it out. Even though the companies have done everything they could to make it free and this and that.
Nobody likes their cheese moved. That was a book in the 80s, right? Who Moved My Cheese?
Right.
And I do think that this is actually, in a lot of ways, going to be the biggest barrier to AI adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it should be in some extent, right? A lot of us are creative, open to change, willing to do more, but a lot of us aren't,
mm-hmm.
including myself, right? Like my own experience with AI is like I'm not a complete AI sort of mm-hmm. Pollyanna optimist. And part of it is just because it's like, oh, I got to learn something new and I got to try something else and stretching myself.
What's your favorite AI?
This is going to be like LinkedIn owned by
Microsoft Copilot.
It actually is Copilot.
Okay, there you go.
But this may be because I'm not the most adventurous mm-hmm. type, right? And it's on my computer.
I tried to trick you.
Didn't work.
No, all right.
Good
that's...
corporate answer.
Yeah.
Microsoft 365 Copilot.
There you go.
Same as, you know, all the kids out there.
Right.
Everybody, they all love it. As I know you know, I also have recently joined the podcast world.
Of course. Where else would you be?
Where else would I be?
Well, but to your point, yeah. This is why it's important that you did it. And I love the title, The Messy Middle.
The Messy Middle.
Because that's where we live.
Yeah, for sure. Getting back to your AI tool question.
Yes.
So I needed to come up with a logo for the podcast, right? And I went like, you know, LinkedIn, corporate structure, tried to get some help from the marketing department. They were busy. And eventually I was like, screw it. I'm going into Copilot. And I just started putting in some prompts.
Right.
I'm like, that's pretty good. And then I showed it to some friends and like, oh yeah, okay. And then I did some more prompts and then bam, that was a logo.
Right.
And that happened while I couldn't get somebody in the company. We were going to go hire an outside firm and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, here we go. So that is my actual use. Did that make me more productive at work? I don't know if having a podcast is actually making me more productive at work.
But it taught you something too. See, this is what I think is amazing. There's more knowledge because you're using it.
Yeah. We also have like, again, mixing sort of work and fun at work, doing a corporate offsite, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we came up with a little mascot, a little cartoon mascot for the offsite. And then we came up through Copilot. And then everybody's like, they started basically going into chat and posting pictures of their version of the mascot, a little monster, right?
Right.
Looks a little bit like Cookie Monster, you know, if he had a couple Red Bulls.
Right.
Right. And then everybody's like, oh, here's the, we call the monster the Zobbler. Here's the Zobbler with me and my dogs. Here's the Zobbler playing pickleball. And that's how you get people to use AI.
Right. That's engagement.
Right.
But it's very hard. Also, they hear all the different names, Copilot, you know, there's no llama now. Like that was a cute animal. We had to get rid of all our llamas.
Yeah.
We're going to put our llamas in a space capsule so future generations know about the frontier models in the early days.
Yeah.
So keep Copilot so we don't have to put it in there because we don't have a lot of room in the capsule.
Okay.
But now you've got people talking about, you've got governments looking at it.
Yep.
Right? Here's AI. How are we going to adopt it for work? So when you talk about business, what do you hear on industry? Because you've got a lot of numbers here. I'm sure you've talked to them about it.
Sure.
How is industry going to integrate? Because we're really talking about people. But is there specific like numbers? You know, let's walk through the fields that are, you know, most effective. What about like healthcare? How do you see the workforce? I don't want to say the future. I don't want you to play like the guru. But I mean, you've just talked to all these people. What are you hearing?
I think, again, it comes down to skills. Again, we've looked at our data. The average job has had the skills necessary to do the job change over the last, I think it's 5 years. If you look at any job, it can be broken down into a set of tasks. And what do you need to do tasks? You need skills. That's what matters to do jobs, do tasks. And what we've done in our data is we've looked down and we've broken down based on, again, we have the jobs, we have the people, we have the skills that they've uploaded to their profile. And we've looked how much of the tasks, those jobs, how much are they changing? 25% over the last couple of years. And we estimate—
That's amazing. What makes it more complicated?
Yeah. By 2030, we expect that that's going to be 70%. So even if you're not changing jobs, your job's changing on you.
Mm-hmm.
So that means across the board in all of these industries, people are going to need to be doing these things that we're talking about, whether or not it's creating dumb, like cartoon animals or something more productive. right? They are going to need to roll up their sleeves and try it, because I can't predict all the ways that the productivity is coming, but these tools are going to make things faster, cheaper, and more.
Mm-hmm.
And so the challenge will be, can we channel that into something productive, and will we have the skills to do it? Again, what we've seen so far is actually hiring overall, not up. And why? Because people are not changing their jobs as much as they were a few years ago. Most of the job changes, when they happen in the world, happen not necessarily just because a new job was created, happens some, but a lot of it happens because people are switching jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, again, related to what I was talking to before, when you look at interest rates, et cetera, it's been, people have been a little more cautious and people are holding on to their jobs more. So, but for those people, your job's changing on you. So it's not enough. It's an imperative. It's not enough to just be like, I'll be fine. I'll just sit here. I'll wait it out.
Have the companies responded? I mean, you're saying that people aren't moving and the jobs have changed, but are companies leading? I mean, all the people we've talked to about AI, I don't hear any uniform sense of, this is how we're going to reskill. This is how we're going to teach AI to our workforce. Even when you talk about government here, okay, this administration is putting a chief AI officer in each department of government, but no one's saying, oh, everyone in the Commerce Department has to get this certificate or this program or that program. Do you have any thoughts on the best way to do that? Or is there anyone you're seeing that's, you know, on LinkedIn or you've talked to that has a path that others could follow?
Couple ways to answer that. There's not going to be one answer. The idea that we can have a simple three-point plan and roll it out, I don't think is true. There's going to be a bunch of different ways to approach it. On the LinkedIn side, the most important way that we can approach it is as a product.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we have rolled out is something that we're calling verified skills. So when we're talking about a number of these AI tools that the developers are using, whether or not it's like Lovable or Replit or others, we've managed to set it up where basically, through APIs and partnerships with these companies, if you are just doing your job and doing your work and using Lovable, you can basically then show proficiency in that tool and have that posted over to LinkedIn. Verified skill. So
okay.
Based on, hey, I'm actually using the coding tool that we're talking about.
Do people apply to LinkedIn to become the verified skilled programs? Do they have to do that?
When you say people,
I mean organizations.
This is where we've started. We've started with these companies and we'll do more. But like basically, you will be able to, in Replit, in Lovable, say, I want to opt in to be able to get this verified skill with LinkedIn.
Right. Because the whole thing is, even when you talk about AI, what are we talking about? Everyone's talking about a different kinds of thing. So when you're saying verified, what are you verifying? Are you verifying that you have the ability to do A, B, C? I like it because there has to be some measurement. I mean, I think that's what makes it all so hard.
Here's the thing about these tools. The first thing you got to do is use them.
Yeah, how about that?
So that's what we're showing.
Like, you need someone to teach you how to use them,
this is
right?
But where we started was like change management. Who's actually using the tools? The developers within the company that I talked about, the ones who are using it, they're building shit.
Right.
So that's where we're starting, which is let's provide a simple, smooth, easy way for developers to show their skills. Companies then want to hire those people. And by the way, it doesn't actually matter then what company you're working at, whether or not you're at, you know, some fancy Google or whatever, or LinkedIn or whatever, or if you're at solopreneurship or doing it yourself, right? Because that's the other thing that we're definitely going to see happen is more and more push to entrepreneurship. One thing that we've seen is the title of founder on our platform has gone up 3 times since 2022.
Amazing.
So you hear people kind of talking about that, right? The idea, the theory, of course, is these tools are powerful and it amplifies the ability of one person. So we don't need as many big companies. We can have more companies. That's the thesis really behind why we would get higher GDP, more growth, more.
So tell us the secrets of LinkedIn.
Okay.
Number one, verified.
Yeah.
So when you guys push to me and say, get verified, what do I get? What does that say to people on LinkedIn?
So right now on LinkedIn, over 100 million verified members, right? We have a number of different ways to do it, but basically you are who you say you are.
Okay.
And you're not paying us for a blue check mark.
Right.
That's on us. We'll pay for the cost, and it's not nothing.
Okay.
But that's because it's good across the board. It's good for people. It's good for companies. It's good for LinkedIn because we're the place where people are real.
Right. Yeah.
And people know that because
I think they know it. I mean, I know it.
Yeah. We're a different type of platform.
So you're on LinkedIn and I'm on one of your lists where send me all these TV jobs because my friends are looking for TV jobs in DC. So these jobs come and I know they're real postings.
Yeah.
But when companies post them, there's no monitoring system that you really are hiring. Do you track how many applications people get? Like, are there numbers like, I don't mean in TV, but in general, is any of that tracked? I know a lot of people that don't get a reply.
Yeah.
So is it AI that's scouring these?
This is a great question. Because in general, people come to LinkedIn to establish their identity, show who they are. And a lot of people come to get a job.
Right.
And sometimes that can be a frustrating experience, right? Like, sounds like you have some friends who are in the job market. I've had some friends in the job market. And it is an incredibly painful and frustrating thing when you are somebody out there who's trying to get a job and it's not happening. And what's even worse is when you don't hear back.
Right. That's the crime.
It's terrible.
It's a crime, period.
That's actually one of the things that we're using AI to help with. One of the things that we do, obviously, is what we're talking about in verifications. Verification, you know, and we also have verified jobs as well, to verified companies.
Right.
The people are real, the company's real, the jobs are real. A very simple application of AI would be, we help recruiters write messages to get back to people to tell them, sorry, not this one.
Okay.
It's frustrating to not get the job. It's worse to never know.
Right.
Because you feel like you're just out there at sea. Mm-hmm. There's other things that we're doing with AI. Again, we believe that skills are the currency and should be the currency for getting jobs. Not where you went to school, not what your title was, but more and more what our research has shown is that by focusing on skills, you can dramatically increase the aperture for who's the right talent for the job by focusing on skills instead of degrees where somebody went to school. Let me give you an example of how this happens. Let's say that your friend has a flower shop, and like everybody else, they're looking for a digital marketer nowadays to help drum up business, right? And it might be, in the old world, what you would do is, if you were a recruiter using LinkedIn, you just look and you'd search and you'd be like, digital marketer, you put that in, or maybe one of some people to work for 1-800-Flowers, whatever company or whatever. Maybe you're gonna get somebody, maybe you're not. But by using skills, we can then go through and look at people's profiles. And so let's say that there is Frank, and Frank is an office manager at Sally Flower Shop. He's an office manager. You wouldn't think that person's a digital marketer. But when you look at the person's profile, he says, use TikTok and Instagram to help support opening 2 new stores. What's Frank? Frank's a digital marketer in the flower industry.
Right.
Just didn't say he was. And that's a way where we can use AI to help match talent with opportunity.
Right. So it's not job titles. It's about skills, because that's how you can measure whether or not, one, you should even apply for that job, or who the person actually is.
Right.
And as opposed to their title, because all the titles are whatever that company or whatever it is.
It's an old world way of thinking, because like, you know, a degree is nice to have. Skills are what you need to do a job.
Right. Dog Type Bakery is another example. If it weren't for LinkedIn, there wouldn't be engagement. So people go, they think it's a regular bakery. They go to LinkedIn and then they get the whole story.
Yeah.
So I understand the skills and I understand the story. And the question is, like, will you end up, and as a cable news girl, cable's kind of, you know, people aren't there anymore. They're on Instagram and all these sort of places, right? And are you going to do more programming? And, you know, like, as YouTube has absorbed more podcasts and things, are you, because, like, you could just be the center of all of it, right? You don't need to, like, go someplace else. Because I now live on LinkedIn all day long. Just saying.
Welcome. So we do have LinkedIn News and we do produce some of our own content. And as you can imagine, this is something that's been kicked around in different ways over the years. But right now, what's I think most important for us is that great content is there. Whether we make it, whether or not users make it, whether or not publishers share it, and lots of publishers do, what matters for us is we want to make professionals more productive and successful and do it in a way where there's great content. And as far as like, whether or not we're going to be like the Spotify of the professional world.
But let's go back to the job side.
Yep.
So the question is, what tips are you going to give our listeners on how to get responses to job applications on LinkedIn? Do you have a tip list?
Do I have a tip list?
Yeah. Does the company have a tip list?
I'm sure we do.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a ton of people. Like, again, I'm the legal guy.
Okay.
So I'm not usually doing, you know, the Today Show. Unfortunately, one of the things like you need to do is you need to be resilient in this market,
mm-hmm.
right? You need to be ready that there's going to be some no and not take that personally. So, and I think that that is honestly the hardest and best, like hardest thing to deal with.
Okay, that's fair.
That I could have is like, understand that there's going to be some no, but there's ways that you can help yourself. One of which is we have an open to work tag on the product. So you can signal to recruiters that you are open to work. It used to be that there was a lot of stigma about being between jobs in the work market. And one of the things that we wanted to do is take away that stigma. Because again, a lot of it, like you can do this. If you're out there, if you're looking for a job, it's going to take, may take longer than you want. You may get more rejection than you want, but you can do this. And one of the ways is to click on that flag and say, I'm open to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then your network will then know and recruiters will know. We're still in a world where like one of the ways you get a job is by working that network and making sure that people know that you're available. And that's one of the things that's magical about LinkedIn, which is that like, there's that person that you haven't thought about in a while who might have that opportunity for you and you connected with them. And if they then had see that bat signal out there that you need to help, people are generous. People want to help.
Right.
So if they see that, then they'll step up and help you in a way that's different than just sort of, you know, throw an application after application.
You know, I don't know. Is LinkedIn all around the world?
Or oh, yeah.
Just, is US number one?
Yes.
Well, it's interesting because even as, you know, producers or before you're doing any call with anyone, we now go to LinkedIn first, which was unheard of. It used to be pull a news link, right? Yep. This company called me. They just wanted to chat. And then I, you know, searched. I went on ChatGPT. Sorry, Copilot.
No, it's okay.
And then I'm like, this isn't a very good, this doesn't really tell me anything. And then I went to LinkedIn. So my question is, do people use you more like Wikipedia than, or is it more for just like trying to find out what's going on? Because, you know, one of the favorite things in Washington now is, you know, all the people that Mark Zuckerberg's paying hundreds of millions of dollars to, and then this company, AI company, is trying to recruit this person. Then you go back to LinkedIn and like, did they take that job or where they are? This is super fun. It's like bingo on LinkedIn to find out where people are.
LinkedIn's the most powerful professional people search engine in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you're using it right.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. If you want to know who people are professionally, LinkedIn is the place to go. Now, it's a different use case than Wikipedia, right? Because Wikipedia is the crowdsourced version of everything.
Right.
So we're not everything. We're the professional world, and and we're strongest in the people part of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's interesting about this conversation? So many people are retreating from the workplace conversation because of AI.
Mm-hmm.
And with this report and what you're doing, it sounds like you guys are right up front saying, hey, here's things you can do, and here's what you need to know. That's impressive.
This is a U.S. report. And let's talk about the things that America traditionally has been good at. Innovation, creativity, embracing change. All of the things that we're talking about are things that we've excelled at historically as a country. Now, there's a lot right now where people are pessimistic and they're looking at things from a glass half empty perspective. And I get that. There's stuff out there to be glass half empty about. But if it's really about embracing change and people's creativity and a willingness to change and grow, I'll bet on America.
Wow, you should run for office. Come on, like that was amazing. Thank you so much for this interview. Thank you for the work you're doing, and thanks for the verification. I like my check mark. I appreciate that very much.
You're very welcome.
And we're going to distribute this report too so people can see it.
Appreciate it. As I said, fan of the pod, so thanks for having me on.
Okay, Mr. Messy Middle.
There we go. Okay. Plug away.
Blake Lott, Messy Middle. That's a really long job title, though. You ought to shorten that up. You'd do better on LinkedIn if you didn't have such a long title. This is Blake Lott, the Chief Global Affairs and Legal Officer at LinkedIn and America's newest podcast host, The Messy Middle. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you for listening to the Washington AI Network podcast. Be sure to subscribe and join the conversation. The Washington AI Network is a bipartisan forum bringing together the top leaders and industry experts to discuss the biggest opportunities and the greatest challenges around AI. The Washington AI Network podcast is produced and recorded by Haddad Media. Thanks for listening.